Damon D'Ambrosio talking about tobacco trips and cotton.
Thank you, Alejandro. Today I'd like to talk to you all about the results of a two-year field study we've conducted looking at two alternative mode of actions insecticides and their capability to control thrips in cotton. This really relates to the increasing issues with neonicotinoid resistance we've seen in thrips populations. So I will start off the presentation giving a little bit of background on thrips in cotton, how seed treatments are used to control them, and then how these thrips becoming resistant to neonicotinoids have impacted what we do to control insects and then, or to control these insects, and then how that's really motivated us looking into these different modes of actions insecticides. I'll quickly go over the methods of the field trial, highlight some of the results, and then I'll provide what I think are the takeaways from these results and as they relate to managing thrips and cotton moving forward. So the tobacco thrips, Franklinia elephusca, is an early season pest of cotton. The adults come off of winter annual hosts. As they die, as the growing season begins, they fly into cotton fields, they oviposit, the larvae hatch, and feed on the plants to damage them. They directly damage them by removing cellular contents. Downstream, this can disrupt apical dominance of the plant. There's a mixed account, but sometimes it could cause yield loss in the plant. And in years of really bad infestation, it can kill the plant outright. And currently, neonicotinoid seed treatments are primarily used to control these insects, the two active ingredients being thiamethoxam and imidacloprid. So historically, controlling thrips in cotton relied on granular carbamates and organophosphates, compounds such as acephate and aldicarb. Like I had mentioned, we've more recently transitioned into using neonicotinoid seed treatments. And then after emergence, if necessary, we sometimes follow that up with foliar sprays of organophosphates such as acephate. This was all fine and well until recently, about 5 years ago or so, we started hearing reports of declining neonicotinoid efficacy in cotton. And that prompted some surveys of the region, which occurred in 2014, 2015, that really looked at how big of a problem this was. So this figure up here is from a study that was conducted by the lab that I'm a part of, looking at the level of resistance in various thrips populations to both imidacloprid, which is on the left, and thiamethoxam, which is on the right. Each dot on that graph represents a sampled population at a single diagnostic dose, and then the size of the dot indicates the present survivorship. So the larger the dots, the greater the survivorship was in that population. And so as we see on these two figures, the problem is widespread. We see it in the southeast, we see it in the mid-south, and we see it to both imidacloprid and thiamethoxam. So the response to this resistance, there's really been two strategies so far. The first, there was some suggestion of putting neonicotinoids in furrow on top of seed treatments. So, for example, this could be an application of Admire Pro on top of a Gaucho seed treatment. The other response has been more foliar sprays of compounds such as acephate. And then finally, people are clamoring for a reemergence of some of these granular carbamates such as aldicarb. But from a resistance management standpoint, this is what that looks like. So we started off historically with our group 1As and 1Bs. Transitions into the neonicotinoids, and with the current strategies outlined, we kind of have this loop, so we're not really moving forward in terms of effectively managing thrips. And depending on the strategy that is employed, this could lead to a 6 to 15-fold increase in insecticide input. So from a resistance management standpoint, it's not a way forward, not sustainable for the growers, so we need to find a way to kind of move forward out of this loop as we continue to manage thrips. So this prompted us to look at some alternative mode of action insecticides in controlling thrips. And we looked at two alternative mode of actions. So we conducted a field study that had five different treatments along with an untreated control. We looked at two existing seed treatment technologies, thiamethoxam and imidacloprid. We looked at a foliar spray of acephate because that's currently used. And then the two alternative mode of action insecticides we looked at were cyanotroniliprole and spinetoram. And so we applied these spray treatments at the emergence of the first true leaf. The idea behind that being we can knock back any thrips that are on the plant, let that plant push out its first true leaf, and then it could be up and on its way until it outgrows its susceptibility stage, which in cotton is roughly between 0 and 5 true leaves. We conducted the study on the map here at a field site that is located about 60 miles from campus, which is in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is a map showing cotton production in North Carolina. The darker the color county shaded in, the greater our cotton production. And so what this shows is that where we're conducting our trial, this is indicative of what a grower in North Carolina would impact or would be contending with in terms of their thrips population. In the upper right corner there, I have some resistance ratios. We did sample a subset of the thrips we were contending with in that field, and we did find that they were roughly 23-fold resistant to thymethoxam and about 5-fold resistant to imidacloprid relative to our laboratory population. And so as we thought of what assessments to take in our field trial, I kind of broke it down here into three different categories, the first being a plant vigor category. The question is, when we're looking at these new alternative mode of action foliar sprays, will they keep the plants from being basically set back by thrips? So like I mentioned earlier, the idea behind any insecticide that's targeting thrips is to really get the cotton plant through that early stage. Once it gets about 5 true leaves, it's really not susceptible to thrips anymore. So today I'll present dry weight as a metric related to that category. The second category is insect efficacy. Obviously, we want to know if these are actually killing the insects, and so I'll present larval counts. And then finally, the third category would be the end-user category. When we think of any new strategy, individuals such as growers or consultants or scouts, they're really going to be the ones out in the field once it's deployed making assessments of how well it is or isn't working. So I'll present damage rating as well. So we sprayed, like I said earlier, at the emergence of the first true leaf, and then we took weekly samples. It ended up being 3 in 2016 and 2017 until the cotton reached that 5 true leaf stage or greater, at which point it's no longer susceptible to thrips damage. This first figure here is the dry weight of the above ground portion of the plant. On the left, we have the data from 2016. On the right, we have the data from 2017. And the colors in both years and across all the other graphs I show, they're going to be the same, so you can follow along a certain color or treatment of your choice. We see in 2016 here, the red line, which is our fungicide-only control, had much lighter plants, less weight. 2017, similar trend, not as apparent, although we do see at our final sample date a little bit of separation indicated there. But basically the story is, especially in 2016, anything put on the plants helped the weight. Here we have larval counts. Kind of a similar deal here. We have, this is the larval count per 8 seedlings in a plot. The red line, once again, is untreated control. The yellow line is our thymethoxam treatment. The green line is our imidacloprid treatment. And so we see greater larval numbers in both years in our untreated plants as well as our seed-treated plants. And then our 3 foliar sprays, which are the light blue, dark blue, and purple lines, we see big reductions in the number of larvae recovered. The final metric is the damage rating. And I think most people in here are probably familiar with damage ratings we use in cotton. It's basically a 0 to 5 or 1 to 5 scale. The lower the number, the less damage. The higher the number, the more you're approaching the plant being dead from thrips damage. Once again, colors are retained. And so we see in 2016 and 2017 the highest rates of damage on our untreated plants. Similar to the larvae, we have moderate amounts of damage on our seed treatments. And then once again, our 2 sprays, along with acephate, but really spinetoram and cyanotrienolipril, they really do well in terms of limiting damage, especially in 2017. So I like to just go back briefly. If we think back to that dry weight, I think there was the starkest set of differences between the 2 years. We saw in 2016, basically anything you put on the plant helped it in terms of producing biomass. 2017, there was much less separation. And so what I have here to kind of look at that is degree day accumulations for both cotton plants and thrips. Cotton on the left, thrips on the right. The red line in each graph is our 2016 field trial. The blue is the 2017. And if we look, let's see if the cursor will come up. In 2016 with cotton, and this is a base of 17 degrees Celsius for degree day accumulation, we see a little bit of a flat spot in here where the cotton plant is not accumulating degree day, so it's not developing. We can compare that to the thrips that year, which were able to develop throughout. And so a lot of times we were concerned about cool years setting back cotton, but the threshold is dissimilar between cotton and thrips. Thrips developmental threshold is about 10.5 degrees Celsius. And so it was really a perfect storm in 2016 where the plants couldn't grow, but the thrips could keep growing. So from a insecticide testing perspective, we were really fortunate to be able to get that in 2016 to really see how well these perform in what could be the worst-case scenario for a grower. All right, so the takeaways from this study, the first being that these foliar sprays, Sanchonilaprol and Spinetoram, they appear to have benefits that are similar to our existing seed treatment technologies. They either do as good as or a better job of controlling thrips in cotton. The second point I'd like to touch on just is that end user profile, once again talked about either the consultants or the growers, it looks good for them too. If we recommend them using this strategy, they could go out in the field and scout for damage, and they'll be able to see these products performing positively. And then finally, like I had mentioned in the previous slide, because of that plateau of degree day accumulation in 2016 in cotton, we're able to see these products perform in a good thrips year and a bad thrips year. And they did well both times. And to revisit our resistance management diagram here, this is what we had. And these results show that it is possible to perhaps incorporate some unique modes of action into that and give growers and producers some new tools moving forward to control thrips, especially as our problems with neonicotinoid resistance continue to worsen in thrips populations. All right, so thank you all for listening. Real quick, thanks to BASF for funding my graduate research, Bayer Crop Science for instrumental in providing us all the materials for the field trial, my committee, personnel in the lab, and I believe I have some time for questions. So.
Any questions for Damon?
Yes, sir. Below what threshold, I'm sorry?
The.
Yes. I would. So, and like I had shown in the map, our resident thrips population, there was some resistance relative to our lab population to imidacloprid, but we're talking 5-fold versus 23-fold for thymethoxam. So it's not surprising that imidacloprid did perform better. And I would say, like you said, imidacloprid in that particular field against those thrips does a good job of controlling them.
Any other questions for Damon?
Yes, sir. So we and it relates to a lot of my thesis research, but we've done a lot of looking into the biology of thrips on cotton. And basically there's a determination that primarily overposition occurs on the cotyledons of the plants, the thrips. So then to control damage, we basically have movement, you know, of larval thrips from the cotyledons onto that growth point. So at the production of that first true leaf, if we're spraying, we're able to knock back that damaging population, and then the plant continue on, can continue onward with its growth.